A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A reminder for all of you to download the premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. It, of course, has all of your favorite in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and choices. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip of the state. You should ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM.com for terms. Got to be 21 and in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Just a quick mention that the NBA's Board of Governors did approve two rule changes, Kelly. They're going to go into effect next season. A second coaches challenge if the first one is successful, which I kind of like.
I love that. It always seems stupid that you would challenge something before and lose a timeout no matter what.
You know what I found was pretty interesting was there's actually a contingent of NBA folks and media members that are anti-challenge overall, which I thought was pretty fascinating because I think it's part of a game. Like, you know what I mean? You want that weapon?
I don't know. I guess I get people still adjusting to like the new world, but yes, it is. It makes a game longer, right? Yeah. Which I can't deny that. So I don't know. Well, I guess I understand it, but I still prefer it.
I've always been of the mindset that the official should have a time limit for how long they can review it.
Yeah.
And if you cannot come to a conclusion by the time limit, clearly, right, you can't see something, so it should stand. That's always been my thing, so maybe one day we'll get that. But if you're sitting there like rewinding and going back, like at some point you're going to trick your mind into thinking that you see what you're trying to look
right
for. So
No, I think that's a good point. I like that.
So that's one of them. And the second challenge, if the first one's successful. And in-game flopping penalties will be called. That was something in the summer league that they're trying out. I actually haven't seen anything personally in terms of it being called. So we'll see how much that affects. I'm somewhat anti this rule only because it just gives them another subjective call to make. It better be like 100% that's a flop, and you better have some strict parameters on what it's going to be because that could be somewhat dangerous in terms of a subjective call like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You and I hit on that on the pod a while back, right? On Hardwood Handicappers, you and I talked about this when they were talking about bringing in that rule, and that's the – I think that's a little bit of what I read, but man, I'm with you. It better be an egregious flop to make that call, because otherwise, like you just said, we don't need any more subjective calls in NBA referees' hands. And you just added one to it.
Okay, let's do this. Yesterday, it was big day in the NBA in betting circles because DraftKings did hang up win totals for the NBA. So I know Gil likes to do this every single week when it comes to NFL lines. So I decided, let's do a game. Let's guess the win totals for these teams. We're not going to do every single one of them. There's 30 teams. We don't have to burn a whole show doing something like this. But we will start with the, what are we doing, Atlantic Division
is what we're starting with.
Okay, yep, so this is going to be pretty fascinating. For those who don't remember, because the divisions have pretty much ruled useless at this point, Celtics, 76ers, Knicks, Nets, and Raptors are in the Atlantic Division. So, all right, let's do this.
Right.
We have music?
No, we don't have music. JVT is going to be guessing the win totals, though, for these. Yeah, music would have been a good idea. all right, Celtics, what you got?
All right, so the Celtics are obviously the highest-rated team in the East. They got a little worse. I will say win total of 51.5.
53.5.
Okay, all right, a little bit higher.
53.5. Okay, 76ers off the board.
I was going to say, yeah, and some of these are off the board. Obviously, there are lots of trades to be made and or not made. James Harden and Damian Lillard, both linked to the Philadelphia 76ers. So those are some power rating shifting players, if you will. So,
yeah. Would I count up five teams off the board yesterday? 25 of the 30 are posted.
That's what we were texting about. And also, too, I mean, there's a universe in which the 76ers are sitting there when everything's done without James Harden and without Damian Lillard. And Joel Embiid's looking around like, screw this.
Oh,
and then,
totally.
And then that'll be absolute chaos. All right, so no 76ers win total on the board.
Speaking of teams going after Joel Embiid aggressively, the New York Knicks.
All right, so they won 47 games last year. Their win total is going to be in the 40s. I will say the Knicks win total is 44.5.
Ooh, dang close, my friend. Yeah. 43.5.
Okay,
43.5. Brooklyn Nets also off the board. So that leaves us with one more team in this division.
Am I wrong? What am I missing there?
Just because they've got so many assets, so they're a team that could be in play, I guess.
I know Mikal Bridges and Damian Lillard have been tied together, but every bit of information has said that both teams at one point wanted the other star in their own uniform.
Right.
So it's not really going to work, and they're not going to trade. Anyways, all right, so no Brooklyn Nets win total. Got it. All right.
Yeah, no Brooklyn Nets. So that leaves the Toronto Raptors.
All right, so this one's going to be pretty – this one should be in the 30s. 41-41 last year. No Fred VanVleet. Pascal Siakam could be gone. I will say the win total should be 38.5.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
Ding.
I nailed it? Nice.
Nailed it right on the number. Right on the number. Way
just
to
like
go, Gil, JBT.
Just like Gil, I'll say, I promise. I didn't look at these. I swear. You can kind of get a sense of where they're going to be at, too. So, all right, 38.5 for the Toronto Raptors. You see not only the division odds, which are up there, but the win totals. So, we're pretty much getting full betting boards now, and it's July 12th. All of these teams are pretty much set in terms of their personnel, so you can get a really good read on this. The Raptors are fascinating only because, like, they're a candidate, Kelly, once these start to come out, if you so choose, they're a candidate to look at some alternate unders because it is picking up steam that Pascal Siakam could be on his way out. He's on an expiring deal. The Raptors really have to look at themselves in the eye and say, where are we going in terms of our direction? We do have a young piece in Scottie Barnes. You can argue with OG Anunoby as well that they would keep those two together or want to kind of build as they move forward. But Siakam's a little bit older. And on that last year of a deal, it would make a lot of sense, at the very least at the trade deadline, to take some offers for Siakam. And there's some interest. Did you know? How about this? Did you know that Trae Young followed Pascal Siakam on Instagram?
Oh,
yep.
Watch out.
Yep.
That's basically reporting these days.
Pretty much.
I think with this team moving forward, there is a chance. I see, like, the OG stuff's interesting to me because you just went through, like, basically a whole year of trade rumors of you talking about moving this guy.
Right.
And I feel like that's always an awkward situation then to be like, yeah, never mind. We're going to bring you back into the fold. We'll help build around you. So I don't really know if I think he's still going to be around. This feels like it feels like we're headed towards a Scottie Barnes Pirtle rebuild around kind of those two, I guess. Yeah, I'm with you. I think this could be an alternate under lookout for those when the alts come out. Or even just jump on and under now. Because, yeah, I mean, Pascal Siakam, I think he could be gone any day here.
Got to tell you, 53.5 seems pretty high for Boston. Just get, like,
given... I don't disagree because this division is not going to be bad. Like, right. I mean, what the Raptors and Nets, even if the Raptors ship away some of these pieces, the Raptors and Nets are still going to be feisty.
Yes. Like, I think the Nets are going to be much better this year. Then obviously we know what the Knicks are going to be, and the Philadelphia 76ers, they could just come back as constructed, right, and be the same team they were last year. But in the East overall, like, I'm a really big fan of what Cleveland did in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be better. We know what the Bucks are going to be, whether or not they're going to contend for a title. They're going to be very good, like, overall. And just given the fact that they got a little worse. Wouldn't you? Like, in terms of their overall depth, their bench took a hit with some of the trades and the deals that they made. I don't really think it's as deep as it was last year. Obviously, Marcus Smart's out there. The Celtics.
Celtics.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, I'm just kind of building the case that 53.5 seems somewhat high. I get they're the highest rated team in the East, but, like, I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to win, like, 40 games. But, when I threw out 51.5, like, that's what I thought it was going to be. 53.5 seems somewhat high.
I agree. It seems a tick high just because the East is still just so good.
Right.
That would be my biggest thing there. The Celtics, I'm very interested to see this year because you're right. It's a team that has had – they're one of the few teams in the NBA that when you and I have talked about them, we're talking about a team that not only has that star power up front but is backed up by quality depth. You're right. You moved away multiple pieces, bringing one big one in return. I do think the Porzingis – like, this is the chance for Porzingis' entire NBA career to be resurrected. Like, I really think it could work out really well there with what they have between what he can do offensively and defensively. I think it could add another dimension to this team that we haven't seen before with already a team – that brings a lot to the table, but undeniably they got thinner in the roster, in the depth. So I'm really interested to see what they do. But I'm actually pretty high on them heading into next season.
Also, I mean, I would say just from a regular season standpoint too, but, like, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and others, Malcolm Brogdon, there's some guys who are expected to play big roles who have a history of missing time throughout the regular season. And that's going to be something to monitor, too, because once Malcolm Brogdon and or Kristaps Porzingis goes down, all of a sudden you're looking around, you're like, ooh, well, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, our depth really isn't what it used to be. So now all of a sudden you're asking some replacement-level guys to step into bigger roles for the Celtics as we move forward in the regular season if some of those guys start to go down. All right, cool. So I think a relatively decent job with guessing some of the win totals. We'll have the Southeast Division coming up in the second hour as well. And speaking of the Southeast Division, Brad Rowland, who covers the Atlanta Hawks, we're going to play our conversation with him that we had out at the Summer League yesterday about just what the Hawks are looking forward to, because, one, they're a fascinating team. I know Kelly and I, the closet Hawk stands, if you will, about that roster, about that head coach and that coaching staff, and as well as the rumors. I mean, not only Pascal Siakam stuff, but remember for a while, all of a sudden, once the season ended, it was like, hey, Trae Young, watch out. Lakers are going to go after him. People could trade for him. And it's like, where did that come from?
I have no idea what the hell was with that.
I mean, my favorite of the reports that are like, the Lakers have had internal conversation about trading for Trae Young. Like, that means nothing. Of course.
Right, yeah.
And the Hawks probably hung up the phone if they actually called, which, by the way, that was never reported. All right, we'll come back. Will Hill, VSiN contributor, is going to be with us. We'll talk about what we have going forward in the MLB season. And coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, Kelly's Scottish Open preview. You don't want to miss that.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Second hour of a numbers game presented by BetMGM. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander today. Let's welcome in our next guest, Mike Pritchard. Nice enough to give us some time. VSiN host at MI Pritchard. Mike, I haven't actually talked to you for a while. How you been, bud?
I've been great. I know it's been a minute. JVT, great to talk with you. You've been busy with the NBA, the association. Calendar year discussion, I hear, all of a sudden.
Dude, it is. And actually, Kelly and I were just talking about this. I'm going to start writing the NBA guide here, I think, in like 2 days, because it's right. It's July, August, September, and then October's here and the NBA season starts. So the association is doing its best to do what the NFL does, which is at the very least be in the picture for almost every single month of the year. Which is, I think they're doing a pretty decent job at it. But let's talk about your sport, the National Football League. So I wanted to bring up some breaking news that we've had over the last 12 to 24 hours. The first of which is the funny stuff. Hard Knocks, they officially announced today. It is going to be the New York Jets. Your thoughts, you in, you out, you going to watch?
You know what? It's only like five episodes or something like that, right? And so like right when you get into it or right when you think it's going to get juicy or something's about to happen, it's going to go away, you know? So I might tune in for the first episode. It's run its course, to be honest with you guys. I mean, it's not the same what it used to be, the insider view or the insight of training camp. It's just not the same, right? And so training camp's a country club now anyway. So it's not that intriguing to me. I don't think it's a curse anymore either. So I think the Jets would be okay if anybody's worried about that from a betting standpoint.
It's funny. I was going to ask you, do you get PTSD like watching it? But you're actually right. You probably watch that and go, wow, I wish I had that when I was playing.
Well, actually, we would have won some awards back in the Hot Atlanta days.
Yeah.
If Hard Knocks would have been in our training camp. Yeah, absolutely. We would have won some type of awards. I know they won some Emmys. But we would have won. I don't know. I mean, just name an award when it comes to content. We would have provided a great deal of content back in the day.
All right. So the other news, and this is the more serious stuff. This comes down later in the afternoon yesterday. So Alvin Kamara Tuesday put a no contest to a lesser misdemeanor charge of breach of peace for an indictment that took place in Las Vegas that was here back in 2022 around the Pro Bowl. So my question is, because there's just like a little line that's thrown into some of these reports. It's like Kamara remains subject to potential discipline by the NFL. Are we sure? Like, you know, look, you go and get Derek Carr. We know about the upgrades. They're the favorite to win the division. So are we sure that Kamara's not missing any time at all here this season? Pritchard, I mean, it's been almost a year now. Like, we're sitting here waiting or over a year about some sort of discipline. What are we expecting at the very least for Kamara? Could he miss some time, you think?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, a lot of times the NFL will wait until the legal process takes place and certainly kind of resolves itself. And I think when you enter a no contest plea, okay, you're trying to get through the legal process and face the punishment for or from the National Football League. Go back in history, look at the track record, what has happened from players who have gotten into trouble in terms of no contest pleas and those situations, you know, as far as suspensions, it could be four games. Who knows? I was thinking that it could have happened last year, to be honest with you, but they avoided that because of the legal process. But I think what this also suggests, too, is that Kamara would rather have that suspension sooner than later, right? You would rather have that suspension happen at the beginning of the year more so the middle or the end of the year, if you can avoid those situations. So I think they're anticipating, the Saints are anticipating that happening. And certainly Kamara that way and whoever is the backup and trying to get themselves ready to start the season. So it's status quo when it comes to stuff like this, to be honest with you. It's unfortunate because he got himself in trouble out here in Vegas. But I think the organization, if they're really set on making the playoffs, at least they have clarity when it comes to one of their premium players when you look at their offense.
And you can make the argument the Saints maybe did try to at least see this coming. Jamal Williams is the addition in the backfield for them, too, and sitting behind him on the depth chart, so that's a pretty good backup to have. So let's expand this out then for New Orleans. Let's just say, you know, it's like, let's say it's two games, whatever. He misses time, and I would agree with you. I don't know if it's going to be more than four games. He's not going to adjust the odds a ton. Like, you know, maybe 9.5, wherever it's shaded, gets altered a couple of cents, but maybe that's about it. But when it comes to Derek Carr and getting into the system and taking over this team, a loss of Alvin Kamara, what do you think that does for him if he's not going to be there at the beginning of the season?
Well, I think a lot has to happen for D. Carr, right? And so I've been doing a lot of research in terms of teams and stated goals. So, for instance, when I was a player, and she's trying to correlate that with the betting aspect of things for myself. When I was a player, our stated goal as an offense each and every year was we have to be at least 60% in the red zone scoring percentage. Right? And that's touchdowns, right? Not selling for field goals, nothing like that. And so D. Carr, that's been his shortcomings. You know, you look at his track record with the Raiders, he has not been that dynamic of a player in the red zone where he has to pull the trigger or thread the needle or make a play with his legs. He hasn't been able to do that. And then so extrapolate that for this year for the Saints. Last year or the last few years, the Saints have been around 52% scoring in the red zone when it comes to touchdowns. Is Derek Carr going to elevate that? I don't think so. And the teams that kind of do or able to elevate that or solve that situation are teams with strong defenses. Like if you're not if you're not close to 60% in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone, then you better have a great defense. And it appears to be the case for the Saints. You know, I think Dennis Allen's done a great job, and personnel wise, it feels like the Saints can have that dynamic defense once again. But if D. Carr can elevate it in any form, get closer to 60%, now you're talking about a Saints team that potentially could get hot this year.
Do you think that's going to be the case? I mean, they're plus 120 to win this division. We'll talk about your Falcons here coming up at plus 215. Probably Panthers are 4-1. Buccaneers at 8-1. Are they accurately priced in a division that looks on its surface pretty weak?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, the NFC South up for grabs, in my opinion. The NFC North, another division up for grabs, in my opinion, from that standpoint. I mean, there's very few surprises each and every year. I've been talking about that ad nauseum, but I think in those two particular divisions, anything and everything could happen, right?
Yep. All right, let's talk about those Falcons then. Second on the board, plus 215 to win the division. Win total of 8.5, which to me is, I think, somewhat high for a team like Atlanta, just given the questions you have at quarterback. We don't know what Desmond Ridder is going to be. I think Taylor Heinicke is one of those quarterbacks that if you go back and watch him pitch and look at some of the advanced metrics, it would tell you got pretty lucky with some of the balls that he put up for grabs throughout the entire season last year. What do you make of Atlanta and the projections here? Because I will say at the very least, like the argument against my own point would be that Arthur Smith did a pretty good job with Marcus Mariota in this offense last year. One point in the first half, they were top 10 team in terms of EPA on offense. He can maximize what they have, and they do have a lot in terms of skill position.
Yeah, they do. They have a ton to work with. You know, I think when you look at Atlanta too, down the stretch, really, really poor in red zone efficiency when it comes to scoring touchdowns, just about 38%. And then defensively, you know, just not a lot of horses last year. But this year, they got more veteran on the defense side of the ball, some guys that with experience, they got to stay healthy, right? But I think they're going to love their style of play. If there's any elevation in this offense, then yeah, Atlanta could be where they fit the profile anyway of one of those teams that can surprise. I'm thinking they could get to double digit wins, to be honest with you, JBT, with that schedule. And then any type of elevation with an offense in terms of scoring, I can see Atlanta really making a lot of noise. Just 34 offensive touchdowns last year, you know, in comparison. You had Kansas City who won the Super Bowl, you know, they had what 59 offensive touchdowns, right? So they got to get more productive offensively in terms of scoring in the red zone, scoring touchdowns and Ridder. He's a big part of that or Heinicke. You know, I think Atlanta and Arthur Smith will go any direction he needs to get into in order to get this team to the playoffs.
Let's go to the bottom of the division, because this is the interesting part about this next year. I feel like to a certain extent, Todd Bowles being set up to fail because, right, like the quarterback situation is not very good. And the on top of it, Pritch, there is the potential prize of Caleb Williams. And it does seem that a lot of people, once we get to that portion of the year, are going to be – it's almost going to be NBAS where it's like, all right, let's see if we can maximize our chances of going to get this guy. And Tampa Bay's been at the top of the list for those odds, right, to have the worst record and whatnot. What is your expectation for Tampa Bay here? Is the roster really as bad as like the records and the numbers would indicate? Because I look around at a lot of position groups, and I don't think there's like nothing here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you know, a lot to be determined there. You know, Tom Brady elevated the entire roster. I mean, even with Mike Evans and Godwin and all these guys, all these all-stars and, you know, the offensive line, that situation. But look at the injuries, key injuries to that offensive line over the last few years. Todd Bowles, too, his track record is not great. As a head coach, and then defensively, they're old. I think, you know, you had some players that wanted to get out of there if they could have. Looking at the writing on the wall, they're transitioning to from a coordinator standpoint offensively. Certainly, that legend leaving the building too, like Tom Brady. So I don't know where their leadership comes from. To be honest with you, JVT, and they're gonna fight with the Rams, I think. For Caleb Williams, I know people are throwing in Arizona in the mix, but you know that contract with Kyler Murray, that's going to be difficult to move away from. But in terms of fighting for that number one overall pick, yeah, Tampa, throw them in the mix, and then certainly I have the Rams in that mold too, especially with the rumors about Aaron Donald and all these other guys.
All right, last 60 seconds. You mentioned you've been doing some research. What stuck out to you recently? What have you been looking at over the last couple of days?
Well, you know, comeback player of the year. I mean, I really like it's quietly a quarterback driven award. And I like Russell Wilson at 20-25 to 1. I know DeMar Hamlin, as soon as he walks on the field, that could be the narrative and that could be strong enough for him to cash that ticket. But Eric Berry, the last safety to do it because of a health reason, he when he came back, JBT, he was all pro and certainly a pro bowler. I don't know if Hamlin's going to turn into that. But certainly Russell Wilson can get back to his form and certainly the form that's needed for the Broncos to have a lot of success. I think he might have a chance this year at comeback player of the year.
You know, Dustin Sweetelson and I were talking about this the other day, Pritch. One name there, too, like that's actually going to have to perform to do it. But I think John Metchie III, I think, is going to be a pretty good option for that as well, given his story coming back. And he's actually a pretty good player. Like, that's the other part about it as well. All right, Pritch, good to talk to you, man. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, you too. Take care, JVT.
You got M.I. Pritchard up on Twitter. Give him a follow. We'll come back. We get back to guessing some win totals in the NBA as they were posted yesterday. We go to the Southeast Division.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A reminder for you, going fast does put lives on the line. Speeding catches up with you. A reminder by NHTSA. Here on A Numbers Game, I'm Jonathan Von Tobel, filling in for Gil Alexander today. Kelly Bidlin alongside. So, first hour, we did a little guessing the win totals. I think I got like, would you say I got an, I don't want to give myself this. This sounds arrogant. Did I get an A?
A minus, yeah. A minus.
Okay. All right. Not an A, solid A.
It's also just tough to judge, man. What did we do? We did a division with five teams, and two of them were off the board.
Yes, but I got one.
You hit one right on the mark.
And that then was within one and then two on the other?
One and two. Yeah, okay. That's pretty dang good. Okay. That's pretty dang good. All right. You ready for the Southeast there?
How many of the five teams, how many do we have available here? One.
We have four.
All right. Thank God.
One is off the board. That is the top of the division, Miami Heat, because of the Damian Lillard situation and reports and rumors and all that good stuff. So let's start with the Atlanta Hawks. Your team, my team, America's team.
Mary, as you say,
Atlanta's Hawks.
Okay.
Hawks. Can I say that?
Atlanta went 41-41 last year. Didn't do much in terms of improving, but Quinn Snyder's there. Market should still be somewhat okay with them. They're going to be in the 40s. I'll say win total 44.5.
Ooh. 42.5.
Okay. All right. That's okay. That's,
you got to like little, that, though, right?
Yeah, that's a little low. Given our expectations for them and the fact that I think they can win that division. And here's the thing, too. This is the important part about these. If Miami lands Damian Lillard, you would expect that Atlanta's win total, whether it be the odds or whether it be a full win, does get adjusted.
Yeah.
So even if I think that thing is going to, you know, even if I think the current price is cheap or the number is cheap, I'm going to wait. because I want to see what the market does when Miami gets Damian Lillard, because at the very least, it's not going up. Right. So yeah, that's going to be something to monitor too for them.
It's a good, I mean, there's, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on Hardwood Handicappers, but like that's something that if you're an NBA bettor, you got to keep that in mind this entire offseason. If
there, man, that's,
if there's a bet you're thinking about that's posted, if you're thinking about it, you got to make damn sure it's a bet that can't be affected by that, by a Damian Lillard or James Harden move. And so many of these can't.
That's low. And just given the fact that, again,
it's the same as the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's the same as the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're talking about, again, if we're going back from last year, only a one-win advantage, 1 to 1.5 win improvement for Atlanta, if they, you know, looking at that win total. And if you go back and look at the numbers for them under Quinn Snyder, at the very least, from the day that Quinn Snyder took over to the end of the regular season, they were the fourth best offense in the NBA. An offensive rating in non-garbage time of 120.1. I think they're going to be better with a full offseason of Snyder and what this offense is going to look like. That's one to circle right there for Atlanta. All right.
No, me too. I think that's absolutely true. I think the other thing to keep in mind, Eastern Conference, it's still tough. We talked about this in the first hour, but would you say the East is tougher than last year? If anything, it's easier.
Oh, yeah. No, yes. I would agree with that.
Right? It's still the tougher conference, but it's easier than what we saw a year ago.
Because I think you can make the argument the Bucks are getting somewhat stale, yep, because they're just kind of re-signing and retooling a little bit and trying to do some stuff. But overall, mostly the same core. Mm-hmm. And we don't know about the availability of certain guys, too, as you move forward in the season, namely Chris Middleton. We just talked about the Celtics. Arguably worse. And if they suffer one injury throughout the regular season, that's depth that's going to get tested. The 76ers, when everything starts on October 19th, could be sitting there without James Harden and without Damian Lillard. And then you just go down the rest of the list. The Raptors could be sellers. Don't really buy Chicago, running it back, essentially. Like, you can go up and down the list. The real improved teams, technically you could say, would be Miami, but the others are going to be like Indiana, Orlando, Detroit, teams that are from the bottom coming up, right. And I think the top is coming down. So to your point, yeah, I think that is the case now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, I mean, the Nets, obviously, but that we already saw that last year, in the middle of last year. But, okay, Kevin Durant moves from east to west. That's a pretty big shift. All right, let's keep it rolling. Orlando Magic, next up, your win total guess.
Okay, this is going to be tough. It's going to be in the 30s. They won 34 games last year.
This is another number I'm frustrated by.
Oh, okay. Well, that gives me an idea then. So let's go 39.5.
35.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be pretty good next year.
Me too.
That was a little aggressive on 39.5, but okay. They're going to be way better, I think, than last year. And they won 34 games, and they played a lot of good teams tough. You know, I've mentioned this before. They were, what, with 3-1 straight up, 4-0 against spread against Boston. Mm-hmm. They had that stretch where I think it was like from the end of December through February, they were a top 10 defense. They're going to be a lot better, I think, this year. And they won 34 games last year. But there was 35.5?
35.5. Yeah, okay. Probably a good chance I still bet over on them this year. But I think I was hoping for, I was guessing 32.5, 33.5, something in that range.
Well, and look, like progression is not like linear, right? So it doesn't just go up. But you would assume improvement from Paolo Banchero. Mm-hmm. You'd assume improvement as a team just because of time together overall. It's interesting.
I think Franz is going to have a big year.
Right.
I think this could be a big year.
They're good, man.
It's good. That's a good team.
They're good.
All right, let's go to not-so-good teams. The Charlotte Hornets.
Okay, this is going to be pretty fascinating. They're probably they're not power rated as low as the Washington Wizards. The Wizards, by futures accounts, are the lowest rated team. And just using what we already talked about, Will Hill, is Washington's win total 26.5?
25.5.
Oh, 25.5. Okay, 25. I already forgot what he said. So I'll say that Charlotte's win total is 20.
You guessed it even after you said it already.
Yeah. I'll say Charlotte's win total is 27.5.
31.5.
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually glad you guessed that because, yes, Will's right. This team is going to be better, but 30 wins, I still think they're right around that range. 31.5 feels a little high to me.
It does. And also, I mean, and we'll tie in Washington because we already talked about it.
Like, there's only a 4-game difference. You're telling me a 4-win difference between the Hornets and the Magic?
Yeah.
And I don't buy that.
Here's something I don't buy either personally as we're talking about these bottom two teams. This might sound crazy, so you tell me if I am. Tyus Jones, Jordan Poole, Corey Kispert, Kyle Kuzma, and Daniel Gafford is not a terrible starting lineup for the Washington Wizards. Tyus Jones is a good starting point guard. You have obviously Poole and what he's potentially capable of.
Do you know how many shots? Like, I even tried to look at like Jordan Poole and most improved. He's up there. The one that I was looking at was Kuzma's. We're trying to find a Kuzma number. Do you know how many shots Kuzma and Jordan Poole are going to put up on that team?
It's
going to be insane.
Nobody's going to tell them no.
Right, exactly. It's their they have the free fire order now from head coaches. Like, yep. That is, go ahead and take as many shots as you guys want.
And here's the thing, and Will mentioned this, and people are always going to point to this when it comes to the NBA, which is, hey, you're going to tank, yada, yada, right? But my rebuttal would be twofold when it comes to the tanking thing. First off, there is no prospect at the top of next year's draft like Victor Wembanyama at all. And there's not every year, but what I'm saying is there's not like a clear-cut guy that you're really going for. And yes, do you want to get the first overall pick, whatever? Sure. But overall, there's not anything really that you're pushing for if you're a team like Washington that's going to be near the bottom, as it's projected is going to be the case. The other thing is, too, if you look at some of the worst teams out there, and there's always a team that is going to be bad and worse than you expect. But Kelly, look at the teams that ended up finishing outside of the playoffs last year. Indiana, Washington, Orlando, Charlotte, Detroit, and in the West, Dallas, Utah, Portland, Houston, San Antonio. Of all of those teams, really, like, there's like Charlotte and Washington, which are abject disasters.
Yeah.
The rest of those, you can make the case improved and might push for a play-in spot next year. You see what I'm saying? So, like,
yep.
I don't know if there's going to be the concerted effort from Washington to actually do this. They're going to be bad, but, like, again, the core that they have is not one of the worst in the NBA. I'm not projecting them to win like 37 games, but I think betting under 25.5 might not be the cinch that many think it might be once you get to the point of the end of the year.
It is an interesting conversation, though, looking at that team of like the, you know, once we get the prop of fewest wins, right, of who those teams really in the running are going to be. I think Washington, you at least have to put on that list for right now.
Yes.
Washington, Charlotte, I agree with you those two, but I don't really know that there's a whole lot else to look at in the Eastern Conference, because I do think Detroit's going to be better. The Pacers, I don't know what you think about them, but probably right about as right where they were last year is probably where I'd peg
them at. I think they're good enough to make a push for a play-in spot.
And then in the West, I mean, we still yet to see, I guess, what this Blazers team is really going to look like, but I don't think I'd have them in that, like, really challenging for the worst record.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets, Spurs are probably still in that conversation, and Rockets, I think, will be a little bit better, but how much better, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Here's the thing, too. This is worth pointing out really quickly. So I mentioned Indiana might be pushing for a playoff spot and play-in spot. And one of the things was, hey, look, like, they spent money. They went to go get Bruce Brown. One of the interesting things came out, you know, when these deals get official, you actually get details on the contract. Bruce Brown signed that two-year deal. The second year is actually a club option, like, so it's a team option, for $23 million.
Really?
Yeah. That's pretty fascinating given the fact that, like, I mean, he could be on an asset, whatever it is. Like, he could technically be an expiring if you want to ship him off to a team and they don't want him. So it'd be pretty interesting to see what they do with him. The thought was they were spending money and they're pushing for a play-in, but if they are worse than they expect, there's a reality in which Bruce Brown, Buddy Hield, and Miles Turner all ship them off.
And keep in mind, Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, Miles Turner's been on the trading block for like a year and a half.
Yeah. All right, we'll take our break. Let's talk a little bit more about those Atlanta Hawks. We got to talk to Brad Rowland down at the Summer League. Awesome job covering Atlanta. Get his thoughts on the Trae Young noise. And remember, you know, speaking of contracts, DeJounte Murray just signed a contract extension for some reason.